Let's start with, what is your musical background?
Well, I started playing piano when I was very young, probably five.
Mm-hmm.
And I always loved film music. I was one of these kids that wasn't watching MTV in the 80s. I was going out and picking up Jerry Goldsmith scores and Danny Elfman scores and listening to all sorts of film music I could get my hands on. And I really wanted to write film music, and I had the desire but not the skill, it's safe to say, at that point. And then as time went on, I finally got into middle school and early high school, and I was able to finally start writing some things. So I started shifting my focus on that. And I played a few other instruments. I played a little bit of guitar, and I played, you know, trumpet in high school marching band, which isn't necessarily a good show of musicianship. But anyway, so I started focusing on writing, and then finally I got into USC's music school, where I started to really seriously focus on the techniques of orchestral scoring and studied music theory and did all these things that I didn't have access to in Bellingham, Washington, where I grew up. I was mainly, until I got to USC, entirely self-taught as far as composition goes. So that made a big difference. And I also, when I was at USC, is when I picked up the accordion, which pretty much sealed my fate as ever becoming a serious pianist, because I started really practicing the accordion and found it to be much more expressive, and for me personally, not necessarily as an instrument. So I started practicing that, and in fact, for about 6 months, I almost didn't write anything. I just practiced for like 5 hours a day. I went through this weird phase, but then that kind of evened out and went back to writing again.
Who did you study under at USC?
I studied under several people. You study under every member of the faculty there a different year. The one who had the biggest influence on me was a composer named James Hopkins, and he really took me under his wing, and I wrote my first orchestral piece with him, and I learned orchestration from him, and he just made a tremendous difference in my time there. I also studied with Elmer Bernstein every year that I was there, who I had actually met when I was in high school, and I had actually worked for him for several summers and became very close with him, but also he was a major influence on me, less directly musically. I mean, I didn't, study composition with him. I mean, I sort of just got to know him personally, and he was just a major influence on me personally, and just as a role model for someone who can make a living writing music. You can't choose better than that.
Okay. So what did, in fact, inspire you? What do you think was the one thing that inspired you to write film and television music?
It goes back earlier than I can even remember.
Okay.
It's kind of a loaded question. I saw Empire Strikes Back in the theater when I was like 3.5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw Gandhi in the theater. My parents would take me to the movies when I was so young. I couldn't hold the seat down. I wasn't heavy enough, so I'd have to sit and I'd have to put my mom's purse or a bag or something on the seat so I could sit in it. And I've always loved the movies. I've always when my emphasis shifted to music, I'm not quite sure, but I certainly know that by the time I saw Back to the Future in 1985,
mm-hmm.
I was about 5.5. That I was done. That was it. I knew what I wanted to do, and I just sort of became almost obsessive about it. I would just pick up soundtrack CDs or tapes at the time,
mm-hmm.
just started listening and collecting, and for a long time, for 8 or 10 years, I was really just an avid fan, and it wasn't until I was 14 that I was able to even sort of come up with the simplest little tunes on my own. I don't know what that gestation period was for, but it just took a long time for me to take that, cross that threshold. But it was probably my freshman year of high school that I started really seriously writing for the first time.
All right. Well, what is the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
It depends. I'd watch the project, whatever it is, and I try to get a chance to watch it several times. And I mean, the most difficult thing is figuring out the character of the music and the function of the music, and really, once you've figured that out, everything else pretty much comes together pretty easily, actually, because that's where you can go the most wrong, is in overscoring or underscoring, or just figuring out what the film or show needs, the better your instincts are, then the quicker that process is, you know? Having been scoring, you know, the first season of Battlestar Galactica, that's something that, you know, yeah, that's a process I can almost, at this point, skip over entirely, because there's a certain continuity between the episodes, and there's a certain role the music always plays, so that's something that I don't need to do on every new episode, you know? It's, I mean, I'm basically scoring one 13-hour movie when I do one of a season like that, so... but I think figuring out the character of the music is the most important thing, and obviously making sure that you're serving the project and not your own desire to write really flashy music.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you didn't exactly write the main theme to Battlestar Galactica, but you have done main themes for other films as well. So what's the first what are the considerations that go into a main title theme?
Well. It's twofold. I mean, one, it depends on what the philosophy of the main title theme is. Obviously, traditionally, it's really big, not necessarily really big, really catchy, really hooky. It identifies itself really quickly, and these are all incredibly difficult things to accomplish, and they're really powerful techniques. And with that said, I do think there's a trend these days to not do that so much, and you can even look at what even all the major composers are doing and what the films are requiring these days, and people are veering away from that, and I don't quite know why. So the first thing to kind of figure out is you know, on the project you're doing, how much of a main title theme they even want.
Mm-hmm.
Battlestar is not the first experience I've had where they want a main title theme, but they don't want to be overt about it, and they don't want... I honestly believe that it's a generation of backlash against Star Wars and Star Trek and these, you know, and these anthemic scores, and I think that there is a generation of younger filmmakers out there that are sort of backlashing against that, and you start seeing things develop in another direction, you know, things like American Beauty, where it's so opposite of a big main title theme, or even a catchy main title theme, that it starts to work on its own in a totally different way. So, I mean, that's sort of the trick, is figuring out what they want, because a lot of times they're not going to tell you what they want, okay. You know. But they're tricky, but they can be very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Well, other than the five coolest things, Battlestar Galactica is the only other TV series that you've really worked on. What would you find the main differences for you between movies and a TV series?
Well, the Battlestar is kind of a unique show in that, really, except for the fact that I have to do 13 different episodes, Battlestar is not any different than scoring a film. I have to use all the tricks that I learned on independent features and independent shorts and score it. I mean, it's scored cinematically. I mean, I'm not sure if you know, obviously, generally, there's plenty of differences between TV and film.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you know, I mean, I'm doing stuff that you don't really see on TV in general, except for on, you know, certain dramas or, I mean, not even a lot of sort of cop shows tend to have a lot of score, but I mean, for 44 minutes of programming, I think the average episode of Battlestar has 28 to 34 minutes of score. I mean, it's like almost non-stop music, and it's action music, and I'm doing these, you know, it's like pulling stuff out of the horror trick book, and you really gotta do all these things that normally happen in movies, and I think the reason that Battlestar can do that is because of the continuing story arc. I mean, obviously the problem when you're watching a 44-minute thing, or, you know, an hour with commercials,
mm-hmm.
is that it doesn't give you enough time to get locked in to any characters, and if you don't get involved, then there's no point in the music trying to force that. It's just not going to happen. But with the way the stories continue, and assuming that, you know, most of the fans are going to watch every episode, then you can capitalize on the last episode, and I really think that people have been responding to that, and so the music, I've been treating it as if you know, it's like it's all part of one big story, which makes it which makes it a lot of fun, and it also makes it an incredible challenge to try to produce 30 minutes of music for every episode. You know, as soon as you're done with one. You know, the good thing about a movie is as soon as you're done, if you want, you know, if you don't have another movie lined up, you can take a break. That certainly doesn't happen on Battlestar.
Right. Well, now, obviously, as a composer, your job is to compose music. However, yeah. Do you find that sometimes silence is more effective?
Oh, always. No, I shouldn't say always, but silence is the greatest trick a composer has. And, you know, placing silence, sometimes I think of music as the picture frame, and silence, if you find the one moment where it belongs, is the picture that goes inside it. The music, you're giving context to all these other things, and that can be an incredibly powerful dramatic tool. Thankfully, the producers on Battlestar are very open to me messing around with stuff like that. But, yeah, I agree. It's incredibly powerful.